Will you pray with me? Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that's never going to let us go. Your love revealed to us through a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your love made flesh in Jesus, who walked this earth, who showed us what love looks like, even death upon a cross. Help us, O Lord, to have that same love and that same unity that you, God, have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray this in your holy name, and all God's people said, amen. So today, I really want to talk about unity. You know, I think this is one of the things that we strive for. This is something, a longing that God has placed in each one of our hearts to strive for, to long for, to work for unity. Unity is an absence of division. It's a oneness of purpose, a oneness of goal. It's a striving together for something. And so some examples of unity that I found, you know, when you think about the Pledge of Allegiance, what is part of the Pledge of Allegiance? We say we pledge the flag that we are one nation under what? Under who? Under God. And so our Constitution, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, right? That's so important, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think, you know, for a nation, these have shaped our country. I think one of the greatest tragedies is not everyone is able to pursue these in the same way, and not always everybody are treated equally. And I think that is one of the great injustices of this world, because God created us to long for, to strive for that unity. And there's something special in the United States that this is a part of our mission statement, if you will, to be one nation, no matter where you've come from, no matter what the color of your skin, but we're one nation under God. And I think when we forget that under God part, it leads to a lot of the troubles that we're in today. Or another example of trying to achieve oneness. Are any of you guys married here or at home, right? How easy is it as husband and wife to achieve unity? All right. I don't know if you're laughing about this at home, but we're laughing about that here at Talmadge Lutheran Church. Unity is tough. Unity is tough because you bring two different people with two different personalities and two different histories, and you bring them together and say, get along, be nice. And I have a privilege later this week to do a wedding for Jared Shoup and Miranda, his fiance. And they're doing this in the midst of this pandemic, and it's so great that they kind of realize it's not about winning, getting what they want, but it's about, as a team, how do they win? Because if one person wins, what does that mean for the other person? They lose. And so to strive for unity, maybe there's some compromise, but to say, how do we win in marriage together? And so it takes a conversation, it takes a dialogue, it takes hearing and understanding and knowing what each other likes and dislikes. But, you know, one of the sad things is in marriage, how many marriages end up in divorce? The divorce rate is actually down to about 40%, all right? And so that's a good thing. But it's also because a lot of people aren't getting married, right? That they're living together outside of marriage. But I think marriage is a striving for this unity. And so today, as we talk about, you know, unity, my question is this: why is unity so hard? Right? Why is unity so hard? I think one of the great things that we as Christians, we can cling on to this image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there is unity in the Trinity. There's unity in the Trinity. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But while we celebrate that, we also acknowledge that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, that they're distinct persons, but they're united as God. Okay? It's a mystery, right? There are some things about God I can't grasp, but I think this mystery of the unity in the Trinity has placed a longing within us to achieve, to strive for unity in our lives, to be on the same page, to be striving for the same purpose, the same mission. How many places that you work at have a vision and a mission statement, right? to say, let's all get on the same page. Our United States is founded upon a constitution, a bill of rights to get us all on the same page, to say what is right, what is fair, to bring unity. There's something within us that longs for this because we were created by who? By God. And so traditionally on Trinity Sunday, one of our practices is to say that the Athanasian Creed. And so the Athanasian Creed is a really long creed, so we're not going to say the whole thing. But we're going to say the beginning and the end. Can I get an amen for that? All right, you're happy about that. It's not the whole thing, but we are going to say a little bit of that today. So when we say that it's a Catholic faith, the Catholic, it means the universal faith. It's the universal faith in which we believe. The Athanasian Creed was written by the church the 6th century. And so it's one of those creeds that there are a lot of people that were saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were distinct, but not one. And so this creed was really designed and developed by the church to emphasize, no, we believe in one God, three persons, but triune as God. So let's start this together. I have about 3 slides here to talk about what's the basics of the Athanasian Creed. Let's start with, and the Catholic faith is this, all right? And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Now we're going to jump to the end. And so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved, let him thus think of the Trinity. Do you love that? You know, it really is what we celebrate in God, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. And what unites the Trinity, what unites the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one God? And I think it's their purpose. Why they exist, who they are, what is their purpose? And especially in terms of this creation, I believe the purpose of the Trinity and our purpose, and it falls into this, is God's purpose is to receive honor and glory and praise for who he is and what he has done. You know, all of Scripture and the church is about bringing glory to God, all right, to glorify his name. That his name is glorified, that his will is done. And so God desires this honor and glory and praise. And that's why I think part of why the church exists, not to what we get out of it, but to honor what God has done. And so part of what we do in all of creation is to point back and give glory to God. And so if you go back to the very beginning, as Scripture tells us, that God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created the heavens and the earth, and who did he place in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, right? And it was a paradise, all right? There was no sin, there was no death, it was beautiful, the earth provided everything they needed to feed, they walked with God, and there was this oneness, all right? There was no shame, there was no guilt, there was this openness and honesty, and all of creation did what? They glorified God. God looked at creation and said, it is very good for his glory. And so God's initial creation, why he made us, was again to just declare the glories of God. Scripture says that the heavens declare the glories of God. The majesty of God is revealed in the heavens and the earth. That's what creation, that's what people exist for, to bring glory to God. But what happened? How long did that last? All right. That unity was shattered when Adam and Eve gave in to their temptation. They desired, instead of glorifying God, Satan tempted them to be like God, to receive that glory themselves, to choose for themselves what is right and what is wrong. And so they disobeyed God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, this perfect relationship with God was destroyed. This unity was shattered. And so what happened? If you read the rest of Genesis chapter 3, first of all, Adam and Eve, they hid from each other. They looked at each other. They experienced shame. And what did they do? They covered themselves. Do we still do that today? Do we still cover ourselves because we're ashamed? I think this is, you know, people do this all the time. We cover ourselves, who we really are, because we're afraid that other people are going to notice we're different. Adam and Eve, man and woman, before the sin, they were both beautifully created, and they acknowledged that before God. But after the fall, they realized they were different, and they covered themselves. They tried to hide their differences. And I don't know about you, but I look at our world today, and instead of embracing God as the creator who made us all equal and human beings, I think there's a lot of hiding going on. There's a hiding behind whether the color of our skin, there's a hiding behind our experiences, there's a hiding behind just instead of being open and honest and striving for unity, I feel there's a lot of hiding going on. But they also hid from God. God was in the garden and calling out, Adam, Eve, where are you? And they hid. Ultimately, our sin and our shame and our guilt pulls us away from God so that we hide from him. Because we wonder, will God still love me? Because we know we deserve our punishment for our disobedience. But they also hid from the truth. They hid from the truth when God says, what have you done? What did Eve do? She blamed the serpent, right? All right. And then when God says, Adam, what have you done? Who did he blame? Eve, all right? Instead of taking responsibility for their own actions, they hid from the truth that they disobeyed God. And so ultimately, why is unity so hard? It's a sin issue. It's a sin issue because in a marriage, instead of working as a team, what do we so often want? I want to win. I want to be right. Instead of humbling yourself and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, I think there's the selfishness, the sin issue that divides us. And that's why the church is so important. That's why Trinity Sunday is so important, because it calls us back to unity. It calls us back to God. It calls us back to our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this quote by G.K. Chesterton. He was a British man about the turn of the 20th century. And he was asked this question, what is wrong with the world? Have you ever wondered that question? What is wrong with this world? And he said, political or economic reform will not make us good and happy. But the answer to this question, what is wrong, is or should be, I am wrong. And this acknowledgement that when we look at the mirror of God's word, when we look at the mirror of the law shows us that we're all sinners. The law shows us that we all deserve God's wrath and his punishment. Because I don't know about you, I can be pretty selfish. All right, I can be pretty selfish, and I can hurt others with my words and my actions, even when I don't mean to. Because that's how I'm also wired. I daily struggle with this old sinful Adam. All right, maybe God's trying to say amen to that, all right? And so I think part of this is acknowledging, you know, what's wrong with this world? I am. And this shouldn't be lead us to despair, but it should lead us to where? To Jesus. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. This word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, which came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And so God wrapped his love in human flesh and sent him to this earth. And Jesus showed us amazing grace by dying on the cross. Jesus had done no wrong. And yet he died on the cross so that the separation caused by sin in this world, in our hearts, may no longer dominate us and rule us. But because Jesus died on the cross, our sin has separated us as far as the east is from the west, as high as the heavens are from the earth. God has forgiven sins to all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That's the grace. That's the amazing grace that even though we don't deserve it, God sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. And Jesus also has poured out the Holy Spirit into this world so that we may be filled with the Spirit of God to strive for unity. But Jesus also came with truth. You know, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And do you remember the rest of this verse? No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a hard truth, isn't it? That's a truth that this world doesn't like. And yet Jesus says there is only one way back to paradise, one way back to unity with God, one way back for unity in this world, and that's through who? Jesus. It's through Jesus. That's the only way back to unity. That's the only way back that we can be restored to paradise, to have a taste of heaven on this earth, is through Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith in him. You know, there's so many things going on in this world right now. Some of it is productive, but I think our manly striving without Jesus is going to continue to lead to more division. There needs to be this grace and this truth, this healing that comes through Jesus, through forgiveness, forgiving others as he has forgiven us, seeing others to say, how can we win together this unity in God? I think the other purpose of the Trinity is, we heard from the Gospel of Matthew today, to go and make what of all nations? Disciples. Of just Jerusalem? Of just Judea, of Samaria, no, to the very ends of this earth, to make disciples of all nations. Jesus died for all people. Jesus invites all people to the party, right, Gail? He invites everybody to the party through him. And he says to do this by baptizing, all right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey. What are we supposed to obey? Everything that Jesus commanded us, all right? And so that we baptize in God's name and we teach God's truth of what it means to love one another as he has loved us. And help us in this great purpose. God has given us his Holy Spirit to carry the love of Christ to all the world, that all people, black and yellow, red and white, they are precious in his sight. Because Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, loved them. And so another verse in Galatians chapter 3, it says, what does unity look like? Let's read this verse together. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Whoa. How do you feel? Is that daunting or what? Okay? And what makes us one? Jesus Christ. Apart from him, all the striving in this world, it's not the right answer. When we look to ourselves, when we look to human answers, it needs to be through Christ. And so I invite you to pray with me, to pray for this world, to pray that for all people, not just in the United States, but all people in this world, that they may be made disciples of Jesus Christ, that we may acknowledge that it's not Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, but we are a humankind. We are a human people created by God to give him praise and honor and glory, loved by him that we may be redeemed and set free from the captivity of sin so that we may love as God has loved us. That's what it's about. One people. Under who? God. So I want to close with this last thought. And I'm going really long today. So much to share, and I hope that you're still with me. And if you're not, just come back in right now. All right, this is the end. This is my last slide. Okay, all right. One of the things that I've kind of been watching this week about everything that's going on in the United States, and I think one of the best kind of pieces of advice that I've seen is that one of the best things that we can do is to listen. Listen to other people's story. Especially people that have different experiences, different lives, different upbringing, that the best thing that we can do is listen and to take time to listen to their stories and acknowledge the truth of their experiences. But I think sometimes you have to go beyond that. We, as Christians, are called to love. We listen and we love. Jesus said some amazing things to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless them. Don't curse them. And so our challenge is to listen and to love. But I think as the church, that we have a Savior that is full of grace and truth. We also need to speak truth into the situation. We need to speak the truth that the answers aren't in this world. But the answers are in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I think as Christians speak this truth, we must do it in the way of the word above, right? We speak the truth in love. And I think that comes after developing a relationship, listening first, that they know that we care, that we understand. But I think there's also that truth that God calls all of us to repent, to confess our sins, and to trust in Jesus Christ. This isn't going to solve everything in this world, but I know that in Christ, he brings us together. And that's my prayer, that there may be unity in the Trinity, and Trinity in the unity, and that we as the body of Christ, united in this world, we may bring peace and love and unity in Christ. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, the Trinity is one of those mysteries that we can't fathom, but you have placed something within us that longs. We long for this acceptance, this oneness of being a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And God, you invite us into that through a relationship with Jesus. That we are part of a body of Christ, something that is bigger than us, that even though we're different, male and female, black and white, even though we're different from different ethnicities, from different generations, we are united in Christ. Help us, O Lord, to live out this unity in our lives, listening, loving, and sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. And the need for each one of us to examine ourselves and say, what's wrong with this world? I am. May we repent, be filled with the Spirit of forgiveness, and may we make this world a better place by our love. We pray this in the holy and powerful name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.